Hello and welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi and I'm the host of this talk show on travel. And I'm going to do something really fun today. Most of you know that I have a website blog called Bonjour Colorado. And my guest is the driving force behind another website blog, and that is called Bonjour Paris. So Bonjour Colorado talks with Bonjour Paris, and I have Karen Fawcett, the founder of Bonjour Paris, on the line. She's actually in D.C., and I'd like to welcome Karen to Travel Fun. Hi, Karen.
How are you? It's so good to talk to you. It's been too long that we have not seen one another in Paris, and I'm delighted to reconnect over the phone and over the radio.
I know, and we've exchanged so many emails, and I enjoy receiving your e-newsletter and reading your stories. And tell us right off about Bonjour Paris. You started it. Well, it's been I can say this. It's really la référence, huh, when it comes to information and stories about Paris.
We have more than 6,000 articles on Bonjour Paris, and it launched in launched legally in 1995, which is, you know, the dark ages, and we were on AOL, and our keyword on the Travel Channel was Bonjour, and was also Paris. And we essentially assembled a group of journalists, American journalists who lived in Paris, who wanted to demystify their love of France and France. And we were actually up on the internet long before the French government tourist office, and really long before the French were internet savvy because of their dependence on the Minitel, which, as you know, was a mini computer that was given out free to everybody so that they could get telephone numbers. So Bonjour Paris has been in business for 16 years, which is making me feel very old.
Well, if I think people should know, they probably have guessed already that you are American and that you are a huge Francophile. You have been living in Paris for some 22 years, and you're pretty much a full-time resident. You live in D.C. part of the year.
I have grandchildren here. Thank you.
Let's talk more about Bonjour Paris. You know, it's funny when you came right out and said Bonjour Paris, because in my mind it has always been Bonjour Paris, and it never occurred to me, bien sûr, c'est Bonjour Paris. Is it all about Paris?
No, not at all. Quite frankly, for keyword search, Paris was much more advantageous than Bonjour France, excuse me, or Bonjour La France. So it was Bonjour Paris because that was just more expedient, and if somebody's going to do an internet search, they're going to do it probably for Paris. And we have many articles not only about different parts of France, but also places that you can go to that are within 2 hours, using Paris as a base and traveling even to Morocco. I kind of limit our articles to, if you can get there within 2 hours, use Paris as a base. There's great transportation, great plane connections. The TGV, the high-speed train, is fabulous. And use Paris as your base. Keep coming and going. And this is great for people who have, you know, more than, you know, 10 days. I don't advise people who have 10 days to go, you know, and do Eurailing, although I'm not saying they shouldn't go to Lyon for a day or go to, you know, take a train trip. But you know, there's so much to see and do in Paris that, you know, this is for people who are there for an extended period of time or who are frequently there.
And I think it's important to say you are just talking about travel pieces, but you have a ton of stories on there about food and wine, culture, all kinds of different stories.
French
that
life,
relate
French life. Expatriate issues. We have things on, which is not necessarily true, relevant to people who are just tourists, but, you know, about tax, you know, how to get your carte de séjour, your green card. But one of the things that we talk about is how to make Paris an affordable city. For example, rather than staying in a hotel, people might want to rent an apartment. It may seem more expensive initially, but when you factor in the fact that you can, you know, have breakfast at home, you can have your soft drinks at home, you can have wonderful cheese and wine that costs next to nothing for dinner, you can do your laundry, you have internet, and you're not running down to the bar or you know, dragging the more space. And I'd say an enormous number of our readers do rent apartments as a way of, one, experiencing the city, and secondly, having more space and saving a great deal of money by using an apartment as their base.
And plus, you feel so French because you go out and do your shopping at one of the local markets and bring it home. And it just is a wonderful way to integrate into Parisian life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, clearly we tell people how to evaluate apartments. I do have a couple of favorite apartment finders, agencies, and we have wonderful reviews about hotels, because let's face it, if you're coming for less than a week to Paris, it's not worth renting an apartment. And quite frankly, most really good apartments won't have a minimum rental period of 1 week.
You do a lot of the writing for BonjourParis.com, in addition to having many different contributors. What was your favorite story to write, or one of your favorites?
Oh. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, I see one right here. It says, "Are Frenchmen sexier?"
I think I'm going to rewrite that one.
What's that? Did you write that?
I think I'm going to rewrite that story.
Oh, you're going to rewrite that? Okay, so as long as I threw that out at you, what is your take on French men? I love talking about love in Paris.
I think French men treat women more romantically. I think that for an older woman, meaning over 45, you're not chopped liver just because you're 45. Which is very nice. I think that Frenchmen can be very romantic, if only by bringing you one rose and saying, "I'm thinking of you." I think the fact that the French, I mean, they're men, and they're men all over the world, and some are romantic and some no matter what they do. But I think they're culturally acclimated to being a little bit more romantic and thoughtful.
I agree. And they're very attentive of women. And on a Sunday afternoon, I don't think you have as many French men at home in front of the TV with a remote as you might American men.
No, I mean, what I really love is being able to, you know, go to a cafe and sit there and have a cup of coffee, read the newspaper, and, you know, somebody may or may not flirt, who knows, but, you know, whether or not they do, you know, you can say, you can either look interested, not look interested, and feel totally safe. There's not a feeling that as there is sometimes when I walk into a bar in the States, that if you walk in alone and sit at the bar, you're on the make.
That's a good point. I never thought of that before. And plus, you spend a lot of time in D.C., and so I guess that can kind of go either way in terms of feeling safe, a woman alone out in a bar or having a coffee.
One of the things that I so love about Paris, and it doesn't matter where you live, is that you don't have to get into a car, that you can walk everywhere and anywhere, and the metro, it really works. And the idea of being able to, within 5 minutes, And I really don't care where you live. Get to a bakery and pick up your bread. And there's, if you decide that you wanted to stand at what we call a bar, but, you know, and have a cup of coffee, you can do it and just stand there and have a quick cup of coffee. And you feel as if you've been out, but it hasn't taken you an hour because you haven't had to get into the car. And while you're in the car, why don't you stop at Costco? You know?
Exactly. So do you think Paris is best enjoyed à deux, in a couple, or can single people have a fine time in Paris?
I think Paris is really, clearly, look, there are a lot of people and who are à deux who aren't so happy. And I think if you're there with somebody whom you love and adore, it's richer, but that's life. I think that if I were going to be coupled and having been both coupled and single in Paris and coupled and single in the United States, I'd much rather be single in France, or especially in Paris.
Right. So, and any single people listening, they might want to ponder a trip to Paris for their next adventure.
Well, you know, there's so many places that you can go. And nobody looks at you as if you have three heads when you walk into a place, and you're treated with respect. And I know that many of some of the Bonjour Paris readers will say, oh, gee, we booked a table at the most expensive restaurant, and we were only one. And these are, you know, really expensive restaurants. And I think, gee, you know, if I were the waiter, I wouldn't be very happy. Or if I were the management, I'd be less happy because this is a table for two. And they say that, you know, here are these 60-year-old, 70-year-old women who say they're absolutely spoiled to death.
That's an excellent point. I am visiting with Karen Fawcett on the line from Washington, D.C., and she's the...
Wishes she were in Paris and will be there next week.
Right. Well, and you spend most of your time in Paris. Right, Karen?
Absolutely. Yes.
We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about Paris, other favorite places in France, and more about bonjourparis.com or bonjourparis.com. Be right back.
Thank you.
Hello, and welcome back to Travel Fun. I am visiting with Karen Fawcett, founder of bonjourparis.com or bonjourparis.com, as the French would say. And we're talking about Paris and France. And it's interesting how you were saying earlier, Karen, the name of the site, Bonjour Paris, how you came up with that, even though you do cover other parts of France. And I've heard that for many years from my publisher. I've done 3 books on Paris and 1 book on the provinces. And I have to say my book on the provinces is the most unique and really my favorite. But, you know, they say people think Paris, 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 Paris.
Absolutely.
And some might
go to
Paris.
Well, you've got to, as you well know, Paris is the number one tourist destination. Now, that may be the French government who counts every single person who changes planes in Paris. But it's either between France. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I was laughing about that.
It's either between France and Italy, which has the most tourists. And Americans, I get very upset, and this is really a pet peeve of mine, when people say, oh, the French don't like Americans.
Yes, that's a pet peeve of mine as well.
The French practically, I mean, when I say bonjour, je voudrais un verre de vin rouge, the waiter will say, what kind of red wine would you like? Do you want Bordeaux? Would you like Medoc? And I feel like screaming and saying, I know that my accent isn't wonderful, but please have, you know, my French is getting worse by the year because everybody is insisting, especially in Paris, on speaking English.
Well, they all want to be so incredibly international, and ever since English became really the top language, the business language and all that, I don't know how many years ago that was, it's everybody wants to perfect their English.
Absolutely. And this and the service, the French government has really made a big effort to say, and also, you know, people who are smart, and remember the service industry in France is a profession. A waiter is, if he is in a good restaurant, wants to be a waiter, and he wants to give service. I'm not saying that every kid who's working at the Pizza Hut, which, of course, there are way too many now, it has the same philosophy, but they really want to be international. They want to be able to speak many languages. And because France is a relatively small country, certainly not like Holland or Denmark, people do need to learn other languages if they're going to be in the service industry.
All that to say, somebody who goes to Paris or even the provinces, and if they don't speak French, for people to know that they will fare just fine. There are plenty of people
absolutely,
who speak English.
Absolutely, unless they're in some very, very small town where you know that is way in Haute Provence. Such as there were some places in when I lived in Provence for 15 years that I knew that if I went into a bar in a tiny town, probably the man who was tending the bar for the coffee did not speak English.
Right, but that has its charm too. You don't want everybody to be speaking English.
Absolutely not. But Paris is, you know, Paris, Bordeaux, Aix-en-Provence, all of those areas, there's always somebody who will speak English, and I have been amazed by the kindness of strangers, where I've said, I'm lost, and people have said, oh, and this was, of course, before GPS, and one of the joys of living in Paris is you don't need nor do you want a car, or I don't want a car anyway, thank you, would get into their car and say, come this way, follow me.
Right, I've had that happen.
And it would lead you to wherever you were going.
And in terms of, even if you don't have GPS and you're driving around France, I have to say the signage in France is extraordinary and so much better than in the U.S. And that you either see the name of your destination, for example, Paris, or if you're going to Orléans, which is the first stop in the Loire Valley, or I say just keep following the sign toute direction, which means all directions, and then you will eventually see the sign of where you want to go. I just think their signage is great, so people shouldn't be afraid to drive around. You were talking about the French and, you know, your pet peeve of Americans saying that maybe if they happen to say that, oh, you know, they have issues with the French or whatever. What is the state, in your opinion, of Franco-American relations?
I think Franco-American relations are actually excellent, certainly in this administration. I think the French really, really have always liked Americans. They have not necessarily liked the last administration. They've not necessarily agreed with our political decision to go into Iraq. But I have never, ever, as a person, been received hostile treatment because I was an American. And never. And, you know, I wrote actually at the anniversary of 9/11 about, you know, as many people did, about their memory of being in wherever they were. And one of the things I said was I had not met all of my neighbors. And all of a sudden, every one of my French neighbors in the building where I live, and whom I may have seen but never met, came and knocked on the door and started bringing food. And I thought, my goodness, you know, what is this? This is just extraordinary. And one person who lived downstairs said to me, here is a key to the apartment. I don't care what time you want to come in. Please, there's coffee. In those days, one could smoke. We have cigarettes. We have food. Don't worry about anything. You're always welcome. And that was quite special.
Mm-hmm. Right. No,
I couldn't walk down the street to my regular cafes without people saying, you know, and as you know, there are cafes every block, certainly, without people saying, please come in and have a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the French are wonderful people, and it takes a bit of understanding, just like every culture. And you and I certainly helped to promote that understanding, and just sort of briefly touching upon the French politesse and etiquette and how that's so important in saying hello, bonjour madame, au revoir madame, and da-da-da. Americans think that's a little too much, and particularly in a store or restaurant, they might think, oh, you know, leave me alone. But that's important to the French, and I think that that is wonderful, and maybe we don't do enough of that here in the States. So I think it's good to be in tune with the culture, and in my life, I try and seek some kind of happy medium between the French way and the American way.
Well, it's very interesting because I'm so used to the French way of life that I walk into a store, and I'll say good morning or hello or excuse me, please, can you help me? And they kind of look at me as, excuse me?
oh, I know. It's wicked. By the way, I'm going to write a story on that, and maybe I'll share it with you, and you'll want to link or post it, because it is very interesting how we interact with the store people in the States and also in France. Let's jump into maybe the top three things you would recommend somebody do while in Paris. Or your top three favorite things to do that are most evocative of the
I'm sorry. I'm not going to give you provocative.
Evocative.
Evocative. Okay. I think walking in Paris is the most wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And if you even go with, you know, have any sense of architecture or beauty, looking at the buildings, look up and I've lived in the same apartment for 20 years, and I really mean that I never walk out of my apartment without seeing something new. It may be new plantings, it may be that I didn't see a frieze on a building around the corner. Walking to me is such a pleasure. The gardens of Paris are so gorgeous. I mean, when we had our house in Provence, my husband, who was an avid gardener, would say, isn't this wonderful? And I'd say, yes, isn't this wonderful? And then I'd spend 12 hours out in the garden weeding. And I would walk into the Luxembourg Garden and I'd say, isn't this wonderful? And isn't it nice the gardeners have done it for me?
the gardens in Paris really are extraordinary. And so you mentioned the Luxembourg Gardens, also the Tuileries, right out in front of the Louvre. Walking around, and people love walking around the Île Saint-Louis and Île de la Cité, going to Notre Dame, and yes, walking. And then, of course, you stop and have a cafe or a fine
glass of wine,
fine meal. What about maybe one of your favorite museums? There's so many gems.
Oh, I happen to love the Guimet, but I'm an Asian art nut, and I think the Guimet is just a wonderful, wonderful museum. And the other one is the Marmottan.
Yes, I love that. And anybody
Small museums, and it isn't that I don't go to the Louvre. It isn't that I don't go to the D'Orsay, but I find that there are a lot of crowds there. The one thing that the French are, and tourists are in Europe, is they are real museum lovers. I mean, I have been amazed when I've gone to the National Gallery here and been practically alone at the Phillips Gallery and been kind of shocked at the fact that, you know, there's nobody there. In France, people use and really frequent the museums. And so I like smaller museums. And
I do
love
too.
Asian art, and I happen to think the Marmiton is a jewel of the museum.
Right, and that's in the 16th arrondissement. That is wonderful. They also have a terrific collection of medieval manuscripts.
Yes,
there.
Yes.
And also the Musée de Cluny, another small museum.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And I just posted a story on the Musée Jacquemart André, which is one of my absolute favorites. Yes, so I agree. It's important to do a small museum. They're just jewels. Okay, so what's the buzz these days in Paris? What's everybody talking about?
They're talking about the new hotels. They're talking about the new restaurants. They're talking about the chefs who were with in the big restaurants who have gone off and opened their own small restaurants that they can be the chef and have one plongeur, one busman and one waitress, so they, you know, and that's really the buzz right now.
And they're no longer concerned about whether they have one Michelin star or two. Right?
Oh,
would
no.
You add that?
Absolutely not.
They just want to do their own deal.
They want to do their own thing. And of course, you know, the buzz is this kind of Le Fooding, which is I don't know whether or not that's going to last or not last, but it's all the creative chefs seem to go to Japan. They come back with a Japanese orientation. There are a lot of American chefs over there, which really surprises me, who have the hot restaurants. What amazes me is that they now are beginning to have cocktail bars, which, as you know, they did not have 10 years ago. Is that correct?
Well, no.
I mean, where they would make Cosmos and everything else.
That's right,
where they
used right.
Have 14 varieties of mixed drinks.
I think that the same thing has been happening in the States as well. Cocktails have enjoyed a renaissance, you know, back from in the 50s, cocktails were really big, and now people have gotten more into them again, and it's probably almost worldwide at this point. And then, of course, the wonderful Euro lounge music. I love Euro lounge music.
Yeah, it's really kind of fun. I think what's unfortunate is that Paris, especially, and I'm not talking, everything is becoming so globalized, so homogenous. So you can really homogeneous. So you can walk into a bar in Paris and you can see the same seating and the same black leather or the same brown leather as you would in New York or Tokyo or whatever. And I think that's kind of shame. You're losing the kind of old Paris charm, and yet it can be found. You just have to not go to the newest, hippest, innest place.
Right. It definitely can be found. So just when people are selecting their nights out in Paris or throughout, well, in the provinces, it's much more local. But, yes, for people to be aware, you want to go someplace that's distinctly Parisian. I am visiting with Karen Fawcett, founder of BonjourParis.com or BonjourParis.com. Wonderful website, blog. Do you refer to yours as a blog?
No. We do not
okay,
refer
sorry.
To it as a blog because blogs didn't exist. When Bonjour Paris, I mean, when we launched in 1995, there was no such thing as a blog. Quite frankly, there's some absolutely wonderful, extraordinarily good bloggers, and they have a lot to say. There are a lot of bloggers who may not be as responsible. They may be just saying, "Gee, I had a great lunch here, or I had a terrible lunch in this." This is you know what interested me, and they're kind of a diary. People are blogging as a diary, as a way of saying, "Gee, I went to Paris, and gee, I saw the new whatever."
Right, a lot of navel gazing. anyway, I think
for putting it that way.
I think it's important to say at bonjourparis.com, it almost feels like a blog in the sense of you've got fresh material up there every 2 days.
Oh, so that's
what's awesome.
We put at least 10 to 15 new articles up a week.
It's very dynamic.
And one of the things that people because we ask people to sign up for our newsletter, which is free, or if they want to be really big sports and become premium members, it's $34.95 a year, and they get all kinds of discounts if they are to do that. But one of the things that we find is that people think we're a newsletter. We're not a newsletter. We're very, very, very deep. And when you consider that you have 16 years of content, and what's interesting is that we now have, I think at last count, 14 people who started out with Bonjour Paris who have become publishers, become published writers, such as Cara Black used to come to our chats. And, you know, she did Murder in the Marais, Murder in Belleville, and she is now has won every prize known to man in terms of, you know, her whole series of her books. And we have some wonderful, wonderful writers who feel that they just want an open platform to talk about their love of France.
Okay. And all of that is on Bonjour Paris, or bonjourparis.com, however you choose to pronounce it. Karen, thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fun.
Well, I've had a great deal of fun. I hope you have.
I have, too. And I am going to be blogging about you and this interview. I'll post this interview as a podcast on bonjourcolorado.com. And so check that out. And I hope that you will say bonjour to Paris on my behalf.
I will do it in 10 days.
Okay, fabulous. Karen, thanks again.
And thank you. And I look forward to coming to Telluride.
Oh, absolutely.
It's one of the beautiful spots of this world.
It certainly is. A bientôt.
A bientôt.
Bye-bye.
Bye.